Praise the Lord. It's good to welcome you to the house of God today. We're looking for the Lord to add to our lives today, to add to our spiritual understanding. The Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So let's receive from the Lord today. The title today is Burning the Incense. Would you turn to Luke chapter 1, please? Luke chapter 1. The Christmas story, the traditional Christmas story, really begins with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Before it brings in Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna and the shepherds and wise men, it begins with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, the aged priest, and his wife, and how, as he began to minister before the Lord in the temple one day, an awesome occurrence took place. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 8, the scripture says, "Now it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." This is an amazing scene. This is the start of the Christmas story. This action of Zacharias burning the incense that day precipitated all the events that God ushered in the days of Jesus Christ. There had been 400 silent years, no prophetic voice, no voice of God. Can you imagine Zechariah as he came an opportunity once in a lifetime, because there were so many priests, so many sons and descendants of Aaron, that you really only had one opportunity to burn incense in the holy place on the golden altar before the presence of the Lord, to stand in the holy place. And Zechariah came. He was a man who was fervent. He was a man, it says, he and his wife walked blameless in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Their hearts were on fire. This was not some cold-hearted, casual priest that entered the house of God. A priest like that would not have received a visitation of the Lord. There were many priests who were casual, many priests who had fallen from the flame of the Lord in their lives, and it was signified by the spiritual lethargy that was on the nation as a whole. But here was a priest that came into the presence of God with his heart on fire. He came to offer the incense before the Lord, and as he burned the incense, 400 years since Malachi had prophesied the word of the Lord, and here stands this man, and an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appears at his side, the angelic visitation that birthed John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the new covenant. Burning the incense. I want us to, for a moment today, think about how important it is that we burn incense before the Lord, and I'll give you the representation of that in a moment. That the burning of the incense started the whole Christmas scene. And the burning of incense in the Word of God speaks of praise and prayer, worship and intercession. Psalm 141 and verse 2, "Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands in worship as the evening sacrifice." Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense on fire, and let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. There were two times in a day when the incense was offered. It was offered every morning in the tabernacle and temple of the Lord, and every evening. The people rose in the morning. This incense was being burned at the altar in the holy place, representing the praise, the prayer, the supplications of the people as they went out in the morning. And then at night, as they returned from their fields and from their occupations and dedicated a night back unto the Lord, the incense was being burned by the priests again on the altar. Two times a day that it's very important for us to draw into the presence of the Lord. We will declare his loving kindness in the morning, Psalm 92 says, and his faithfulness every night. We rise in the morning, we praise and seek God. We go about our activities. We have to give our attention to our jobs, our occupations, the livelihoods God has given us. And then in the evening, as we come, the close of the day, again, we offer to the Lord. I like what David has said in Psalm 119. He said, "My eyes anticipate the morning. I anticipate the morning because that's when I get up and I begin to praise the Lord. I begin to direct my heart to the Lord for a brand new day. And he said in Psalm 119, in the same verses, he said, I anticipate the night watches. When my day is done, when all the business of the kingdom is completed, I can enter back into the presence of the Lord and dedicate a night unto the Lord. The burning of the incense on the altar of the Lord. It speaks of our praise and our prayer, our worship and intercession. And as we burn incense before the Lord, we have the ministry of the angels of the Lord and the presence of God and the life of God to perpetuate his will for our lives and his will for the kingdom of God. There were two altars in the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses and later in the Temple of Solomon, two altars. One was in the outer court and one was in the holy place. There was a brazen altar in the outer court, an altar made of bronze, and there was a golden altar in the holy place in the presence of the Lord. The altar in the outer court was an altar of blood. The altar in the holy place was an altar of incense, praise and worship and prayer. Outside, as a man approached God, there would first be the shedding of blood. The brazen altar speaks of the cleansing and the forgiveness of God for our sins, of our reconciliation, of our peace with God. It speaks of our born-again experience. There was a day when fire came on the altar of our hearts and we were born again. We were regenerated. We came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first altar. But there's a second altar in the holy place where the Lord invites us to come into his very direct presence. That altar stood as close as it could in old covenant times to the veil. And behind the veil was the Shekinah glory, the visible glory cloud of God, the Ark of the Covenant, which was the throne of the Lord. The Lord invites us to come to the altar of incense. And he says, there I will meet with you. Very beautiful. What took place, that the priest every day would take coals from the brazen altar, the altar of salvation, and he would carry those hot coals and place them on the golden altar, the altar of incense, and those coals of the salvation experience would be the fire that would burn and lift the praise and worship and lift the prayers of the priest before the Lord. We need the fire of God. We need supernatural fire. This fire of God that burns on the golden altar, this fire that burns in our worship and our praise, our seeking of the Lord, is not natural fire. It's supernatural fire. And that's the fire that God wants. There was an occasion where two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, said, we're not going to bring the supernatural fire from the altar of our salvation experience. Let's take some common fire. The Bible called it strange fire. They brought some fire out of their homes, out of their habitation, normal earthly fire, and they were struck down in the presence of God. They died under the judgments of the Lord, and they were carried out. Strange fire, common fire, Christian humanism, goodwill. What humanity can manufacture. God says, I want supernatural fire on the altar. And the fires of God that burned in the tabernacle, the fire was a supernatural fire. In Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 34, let's look through a couple of verses. When the tabernacle of Moses was dedicated to the Lord, that first great house of God, Leviticus 9:24 says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. The fire that came in the tabernacle was supernatural fire. It came out from the presence of the Lord. Then we have the Temple of Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verses 1 to 3. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, as he dedicated that temple, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." The fire in the temple, just like in the tabernacle, was fire of supernatural origin. Then we have the account of Elijah, the prophet, as he called a decadent nation back to the Lord. Nation that had fallen far from God. We're serving the Baals. We're serving the world system, the gods of this world. And Elijah came and repaired the altar of the Lord that was on Mount Carmel. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 18, 38 to 39, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" On that altar on Mount Carmel, the fire of God again, supernaturally kindled. The fire of God that is to burn among his people. And then we come to Acts chapter 2, the inauguration of the new covenant church. This is the New Testament temple being put in place. And Acts 2, 1 to 4 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven or divided tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues," supernatural utterance, "as the Spirit gave them utterance." The New Testament church opened up and the fire of God fell upon that company of believers. It's a sign for all of us. But what is so significant here is that the fire didn't come just in one mass. It appeared that way, but all of a sudden it split out until a tongue of fire appeared over every believer. The Holy Spirit signifying that the new covenant temple was every person that put faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul said, "Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" The Lord lit our lives supernaturally with his fire in regeneration. And now we are the priests that must carry the coals from the altar of our salvation to the altar of prayer and worship and intercession and seeking of the Lord. In the Old Testament, a priest did it for you. Some minister did it for you. Oh, you were there praying outside. You had to respond. You knew what was going on in the holy place when the incense went up was a representation of your own heart and life. But whether you came to the altar or not, a priest would come every morning and every evening and bring the sacrifice of the Lord and burn the incense. But in the new covenant, every person is a priest of the Lord, and we are responsible to bring the fire from the salvation experience and offer the worship and prayer and respond to the Lord. No one will do it for us. We're the new covenant priests. The Apostle Peter said, "You are a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 said, "Unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins and has made us kings and priests unto God and our Father, to him be glory forever." Kings reign and priests minister. And we have the responsibility to bring the fragrant incense before the presence of the Lord and to burn the incense, to burn the incense. Zechariah went into the house of God not only to offer incense, it says he burned the incense before the Lord. You can't simply bring incense and put it on a cold altar because there will be no cloud of smoke. There will be nothing that ascends into the heavens. You have to bring hot coals from your own salvation experience, from what God has done in your life in saving you from sin, and you bring out of the joy of your heart because you're saved and you know Jesus Christ, the coals from that fire, and you heap them up on the golden altar of incense, and then you begin to pour out the praise and the prayer, the worship and the intercession, and the Bible says the cloud begins to go up into the heavens. We have a beautiful example of this in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. It shows us how the ministry took place. It says, "The priest shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord." That's the brazen altar in the outer court. "He shall take a censer full of burning coals." Did you bring a full worship this morning? A full sacrifice to the Lord? A censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, beaten small. "And bring it within the veil, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." He shall put the incense. Incense beaten small, fragrant incense. You can't simply bring in chunks of praise and chunks of prayer into the house of God. It has to be beaten fine. It has to be intricately set together. The image is that the priest would take the incense, and it was made of four ingredients that speak of things like our zeal and our purity and our obedience. And they would take this incense and they would grind it. They would beat it till it was very fine. So when they went into that holy place, that it was like they took handfuls, praise and prayer, worship and intercession, and the incense was so fine that it ran like fine sand out from between their fingers, and they would cast this on the altar. And because it was beaten so fine, there would be this ignition, and a fragrant cloud would rise into the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful scene before the Lord, that we are called to be that kind of people, that we come with our praise and worship, that it's intricate, that it's beaten fine. We come with detailed worship. We come with detailed prayer. We work to make sure it's ground fine before the Lord so there can be a fragrant fire that ascends and a cloud that goes up into the heavens. Some people have the mistaken notion that God hears all prayer, but it's not true. God listens to all things, but he doesn't hear all prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Effectual, fervent, that's the word energeo in the Greek. It's one word. It's that energized, it's that spirit-inspired prayer that comes off the hot coals of a burning heart. The Lord doesn't hear all prayer. Sometimes we hear the leaders of the nations, when there's some calamity, say, "Our thoughts and our prayers are with them. Our prayers are with them." Those prayers have no power, according to the Word of God. Those prayers come off dead, cold altars. The Lord hears the prayers of the righteous, the Bible says. Now listen to these verses today. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Sacrifice, the prayer. You could say the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:29. "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." There are only two companies of people in this world, believers and unbelievers, righteous and wicked. The Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Or we have Proverbs 28 and verse 9. "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You know what that's speaking of? It's speaking of people who no longer attend the house of God. In that day, people that turned their ear from hearing the law, they would not go to the house of God. They would not walk in the company of the believers. It says even their prayer is an abomination to the Lord. The Lord wants a unified body. He wants his people together. And out of the righteous hearts, he begins to respond to their cry as they offer the incense. Angelic presence comes. Or we have Proverbs 21 and verse 13. 21 and 13. Whoso closes his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Those who close their ears to the cry of the needy, when they cry, they will not be heard. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord is near those who are of a broken heart. He saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 102 verse 17 says that the Lord hears the cry of the destitute. The Lord is looking, the Lord is searching for sincere, faithful, righteous, holy hearts. He says, I will hear those prayers. I will hear those prayers. We live in a day when everyone's trying to tame down the Christian message, the awesomeness of God. But the Lion of Judah cannot be tamed. He can't be tamed. He's got his word and he has his ways and he has the principles by which we must come. Some say whoever prays, however they pray, whatever they pray, you know, God is listening. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God responds to those who have a fervent heart, who know how to burn the incense in his presence. And he responds to their cry. He responds to their heart. Their will. 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. That's how close we must walk in the presence of the Lord. If any man hears his will, knows his will, how do we understand the will of the Lord for our lives, for our children, for our situations? We must get close to God where we walk in such fellowship with him that he's communicating with us and we with him. And out of that comes a confidence. I know the will of the Lord and I know that whatever I ask, I will have the petition that I desired of the Lord. Hallelujah. We must burn the incense. We must learn how to burn the incense. The incense has to rise off hot coals. The incense has to rise off hot coals on the altar of our heart, or there's no lift. There's no lift. Some prayers don't get off the ground because the heart is cold and the altar is cold. There can be lifeless churches and lifeless Christians. Their hearts are cold. Jesus said to the church at Sardis, he said, be watchful. He said, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. You have a name that you live. You have a great reputation in the community, but you're dead. You're lifeless. He said, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Quite the words of Jesus to a local church in the first century. And so we understand how important it is that the fire would burn on the altar, that we would bring the kind of coals that would bring lift to the incense, that our spirits, our burning coals would be so hot in the presence of God as we come before him that when we begin to praise and worship, when we begin to pray, there is lift. Something goes up into the heavens. Something ascends to the very presence of God. There's a beautiful scene in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8 that shows our prayers ascending up into the heavens. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Another angel came and stood at the altar. This was at the golden altar in the heavens, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There's an angel in the heavens. It's not speaking here of one of the, we should say, ordinary angels of the book of Revelation. This is a particular angel who has the power to stand as a mediator, to stand at the priestly altar on behalf of the people of God. There's only one angel like that. It's the angel of the Lord. This is a picture of Jesus Christ in the heavens. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. The Bible teaches that he is praying, he is interceding, he is one with us as we bring the requests and the desires of our heart. He's one with us as we worship and praise God, and he mingles the incense of heaven. Now, as our prayers and our worship ascend up into the heavens, the Lord is there attending to the altar, and when the incense comes off the hot coals of earth, from your altar, my altar, our lives, and ascends up into the heavens, Jesus is standing at the golden altar in the heavens, and he's casting incense in with our prayers. He's casting his intercessions. He's casting his heart. He's casting his desires in with ours. And when prayers are complete, the censer is turned over, and judgments fall out in the earth against our foes, and we're brought into salvation and victory and deliverance. How important it is to burn the incense before the Lord. Make sure our prayers are on fire. Make sure that our worship is on fire. I want to bring to you the words of E.M. Bounds, one of the great men of prayer. E.M. Bounds, quotation that we have this morning. E.M. Bounds passed away in 1912 or 1913. His books on prayer, I believe there are 11 of them, are still regarded as the greatest treasury of prayer writings ever compiled, ever brought forth. He said these words, "No erudition, no purity of diction." Erudition is scholarship. No purity of diction. No width of mental outlook, no flowers of eloquence, no grace of person can atone for lack of fire. Prayer ascends by fire. Flame gives prayer access as well as wings, acceptance as well as energy. There is no incense without fire, no prayer without flame. I want to read that again. No erudition, no purity of diction, no width of mental outlook, no flowers of eloquence, no grace of person can atone for lack of fire. Prayer ascends by fire. Flame gives prayer access as well as wings, acceptance as well as energy. There is no incense without fire, no prayer without flame. We must learn how to burn incense on the altar, the golden altar before the Lord. How to burn it. How to make sure it's on fire. How to make sure it catches in the presence of God and something of substance rises into the heavens that Jesus says, I can cast incense. I can cast my intercessions in with that. And it fills up the bowls in heaven. The offering is complete. And the Lord brings his life and his judgments and his goodwill into our lives in the earth. We're the priests responsible to bring the heat. Now you know how it is in the natural. I've mentioned this before. The action of the body puts heat into the body. The action of the body puts heat into the body, and it goes the same for the spirit. The action of the spirit puts heat into the spirit. If you want hot coals, if you want a burning fire, you have to put action into your spirit. You have to get involved with God, declaring his praises, lifting your voice, shouting aloud of his goodness, reading a scripture out loud, making a prophetic statement, beginning to declare a prayer utterance before the Lord. As we put heat into our spirit, we start to burn with fire. And that's how the sacrifice and the offerings of the Lord rise. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in that realm of divine inspiration, where you can sense when the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you. Or Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our human limitations and frailty. The Spirit helps us, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Gushings of the Spirit, groanings of our spirit, deep yearnings, deep longings after God, after His worship, after His will. "And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit." God searches the hearts. He knows what our needs are, what the Spirit is endeavoring to do in us. "He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Those are prayers with fire. When we begin to pray in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to pray in us, something of wonderful significance rises to the heavens. Well, let's close out with Romans 12 and verse 11. It says, "Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord." Never lag in zeal. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Today, it's in my heart to encourage you and challenge you concerning the burning of the incense before the Lord. Learn how to take the hot coals of your salvation experience. That fire was lit supernaturally in you. You were born again of the Spirit of God, not of works, not of our own effort. We were born again of the Spirit of God, and the fire came out of heaven and lit our altar. The Scripture says that fire never goes out. That fire never goes out. The priest superintended that fire every day, but that fire never burned out on the altar. But every morning and every evening, coals were taken into the holy place, and there was the offering of incense before the Lord. It was Zechariah's opportunity to offer incense in the holy place, to burn incense before the Lord, and as he did, the angel of the Lord appeared. The angel of the Lord appeared. I know the principle is true for all of us that as we learn to burn the incense, we will find angelic visitation. We will find the word of the Lord. We will find the presence and life of God and the answers of the Lord come to our lives. We'll be praying in a dimension of the Holy Spirit in a fresh new way. Today I encourage you with the fire on the altar of your heart. Maybe you're here today and you're kind of casual in your spirit. Listen, the Lion of Judah can't be tamed. He can't come down to your level. He'll come down to lift you up, but he's got a level of fire and passion and zeal that exceeds anything that men or women in the natural could perceive. He wants to lift us up into his glory, that the zeal of the Lord would consume us. We'd be a people of fire. We'd be a people that are warriors for the kingdom of God and live in the strong presence of the Lord. Today, if the fire is burning low on your altar, would you stir up the coals of your heart? Stir up the gift of God, the Bible says. Stir up into flames those embers that are upon the altar of your salvation. And know that the Lord has a great desire for you to be filled with the zeal of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning. Let's burn some incense on the golden altar today as we stand before the Lord. Some sweet incense beaten fine. Some prayer, some worship right now, some utterance, some declaration. Maybe there's a supplication on your heart, a need on your life. Begin to offer that prayer request on the burning coals of desire, the burning coals of the greatness of God in your life, and Know that there's a high priest standing in the heavens today, waiting to cast some incense in with your prayers. Cause some intercession to rise to the very throne of God, and the answers of the Lord come. Fire and lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake. The altars are open this morning. If there's anyone here that needs to draw close to the Lord, you've been walking far away from the Lord. You haven't been in His presence like you need to be. But today you say, I'm going to come and offer myself to the Lord in a fresh way. The altars are open for you. Maybe there's others that have needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. Please make your way to the altar. People will be here to pray with you and lift you up. Let's believe God for a time of incense right now, of His holy presence, of His answers, of His salvation on our lives. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, lifting up of my hands as the sacrifice.